Dear ones, for this morning's reading, with God's help, I desire to read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 14. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. I wish to start at verse number 53 to the end. Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, beginning with verse number 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bare false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And when he thought thereon, he wept. May God bless our reading. Dear ones, the reading of Jesus before the high priest, of Peter's denial, is a chapter that I think is very riveting when we see, as we try to envision what is taking place to our Lord and Savior, to his disciples who are with him, and the events that are taking place, which are completely contrary to the law, which prohibited everything that we're seeing here, is actually prohibited by the law. And Jesus, as we see here, is being led away. And there is so much in these few verses that we have read, and I think I'd like to just focus on something that maybe we can all bring ourselves to as we see this picture unfolding of what is taking place, that we can actually put ourselves there in today, in right now, and see how are we in relation to Peter and the disciples, how are we living, and how are we following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because I think the part of this scripture that I'd like to focus on that really strikes me, not only now, but any time I read it, is verse 54. It tells us, and Peter followed him afar off. Peter followed him afar off. And so the question we would simply ask ourselves is today, is how close are we following Jesus? Because Jesus tells us, take up your cross and follow me. And where are we? Are we far away? Because we see quickly where Peter finds himself when he is not close to Jesus. He is seeking for comfort around the fire of the world. He can't find his comfort in Christ. He's too far away. He's too far. So he puts himself into another position that he can get some comfort, and that is around the world's fire. He warms himself. It's comforting to at least attach himself to something that will bring him comfort. Now, where are we following him? You know, and the brother led us in a prayer, and it was really impacting me. Every phrase is, as we prayed, he says, forgive us where we didn't read your word enough. He's asking, we're praying for forgiveness. That meaning, what does that mean? If I'm not reading his word, forgive me. We prayed when we didn't bless others with exposure to who Jesus is for us. And there was many things that were laid out. None of them were sin in and of itself that we would say, forgive me for I lied. No, that was never mentioned. Just forgive me for where I followed afar off. That's really what it is. Because if I'm not spending my time in his word, if I'm not being a blessing to others, if I'm not taking an opportunity to be a servant, I'm following him afar off. I'm in sin. Do we think of that? Do we consider where we are right now? Are we with Jesus, with our cross, dying daily to myself, my will? And are we praying, Lord, make thy will mine? You and I can't do that, but we can submit to him. And then the Holy Spirit, whom we have been sealed with, he will see to it that his will becomes ours. But when my will is to follow him afar off, and why would you and I follow Jesus from afar? Why did Peter follow him? We had a sermon recently about the costs of following Jesus Christ. It's going to cost us. And so, if I'm going to follow Jesus from afar off, why? It's because the cost is too great to follow him closely. It's going to cost me something. It might cost me putting away my bottle. It might cost me putting away those movies. It might cost me taking from my comforts what I want for myself and giving it to someone else. It's going to cost me something. And so when I step back a little bit, I'm a little bit more comfortable. I don't have to separate myself from these things that bring me comfort, which is what? It's the world, the fires of the world. I'm looking to warm myself with the fires of the world and the fire of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get away from it, step back a little bit. So where are you and I in our following of Jesus Christ? Did Peter plan this? No, because we know he just said that I'm going to give my life for you. He told Jesus, I'm willing to lay down my life. He didn't know that he prophesied what he actually would do. He actually did do that. But he had some growing pains to go through. He had to die to himself. He had to take that cross that Jesus says, you can only follow me when you take up your cross. You have to die to yourself. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your very life. Peter said that he would. And brothers and sisters, every one of us here made that vow that if the Lord requires my life, I will give it with his help. Was Jesus not helping Peter here? He was too far away from him. He was too far. It wasn't the lack of strength from Jesus. It wasn't the lack. When you and I fail, it's not because of the Holy Spirit is weak. It's because I'm too far away from him. I don't even hear him. I'm too comfortable where I'm at. The world's fires are burning, and they feel good. It's comfortable. I'm in my comfort zone. Don't let me out of this. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. I have faith in Jesus. And I'm good where I'm at. Far away. And as they came and it tells us here, they according to the law, they could not even take and have a trial by night. They broke their own law. The law was that you had to have two witnesses. If it was a capital offense that required the death of the offender, there's two witnesses that had to be there to see what happened. And they said here there was many false witnesses. They bear false witness. And their witnesses together didn't match up. They couldn't stand. Because one's lying in one way, one's lying in another. The two don't add up. But they proceed. They keep going. Until the high priest says, why aren't you answering? You're answering nothing? What is it? These that are witnessing against you. And it says, and he held his peace, fulfilling the prophecy. They led him as a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't say anything. And then the high priest asked him and said, art thou the Christ? Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed? You know, in the past, Jesus always says, don't tell them who I am when he would reveal himself. Don't go. Don't say anything. Because it wasn't his time yet. And Jesus knew now was his time, and he said, I am. I am. And he said, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. He told the high priest, I am he, and you're going to see me again. You're going to see me in my power. and I will come and judge you. This is what was prophesied, what Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7, the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man and his power. And Jesus says, I am he. And now, high priest rent his clothes. Why did he rent his clothes? He's angry, he's livid. This is now, he says, we don't need any witnesses now. We all heard him. You've heard the blasphemy. Did Jesus blaspheme? Of course not. He didn't curse God. He didn't deny him. He said, I am he. They condemned him to be guilty of death. And they started to spit on him. They covered his face and they beat his face. And they told him, prophesy. They started striking him with the palm of their hands. Peter is looking. Peter, while Jesus is suffering for the sins of Peter and the world, Peter is sinning by following him afar off. He's avoiding the suffering. He knows it's going to cost him. So he's avoiding that cost. Avoiding that suffering as Jesus suffers for him. And so, dear ones, we were baptized in the death of Christ. We identify with him. We die. That's what holy baptism is, of water. We die with Jesus on the cross. We die to ourselves, to our sins. We are buried in the watery baptism. The old man, the sin that is dead, as Christ was buried. We are buried in baptism. And as Christ resurrected, we come up from baptism into the resurrection of a new life. We're given a new identity. We are now the sons of God and daughters of God. We identify with Jesus. Are you following him? Am I following him? We sing a hymn, take thou my hand and lead me. Are we so close that we're holding on to Jesus? Or are we afraid of what it's going to cost me? Do I not want to suffer for him? He was spit on and he allowed himself to be spit on. It was a shameful thing to be spit on. They spit on the Lord of glory, buffeted him, beat him, put him on a cross. And Jesus did it all out of a great love for you and for me. Because he loves us. What does that spur us to? Well, we see Peter, what takes place with him. Peter is looking at all of this. He's seeing his Lord being beaten, spit on, ridiculed. He's being told, you're one of his. No, I'm not. He denied him. And I know that when you and I read this, we say we would never say, no, I don't know Jesus. If I was asked, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Well, Peter was saying here, I'm not. I'm not a follower. He said, I don't know him. He said, I'm not a follower. He said, I'm not a Galilean. Though his speech showed that he was. It's like today, you know, if you're speaking in an accent, some accents are very recognizable. You know, when a Hungarian is speaking, you know he's Hungarian by the accent that he has. Well, Peter is denying that. And they kept persisting. Now, let's think about this. They kept persisting, yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. And then it was Peter's speech that gave him away. And what was that? He started to cuss, to curse. And they said, okay, now we know. Now we know you are not a follower of Jesus, because Jesus would never do that. Now we know. His actions gave him away. Does our language deny that we are followers of Jesus Christ? Do the angry words that roll off our lips deny him? Because they do. They do. Are we that far away that we don't even see the sins that we ask for forgiveness? Are they just when we lie? Are they just when we do something that we know is sin because it says, thou shalt not? Or is our sin because we're not following him closely? I'm not denying myself because the cost is too great. It's too much, Lord. It's too much. And Peter, I can't even imagine. It doesn't tell us in the Gospel of Mark doesn't tell us, but I think Luke does. He tells us, and Jesus looked on him. You know, we try to picture this. He's afar off, and Jesus looks at Peter, and their eyes meet. This is Peter, who said, I'm going to give my life for you. What was in that look? What was in that look? Do we see that look today? When we deny him in our actions, in our lives, in our daily walk, do we see Jesus looking at us? What does it prompt within us? Peter hears the cock crow, and he knew. He knew that Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times. And the audible, crisp, clear sound of the rooster crowing shook him to the core. Because he knew that he was far away from him. From the one who he, moments earlier, declared, thou art the Son of God. I will die with you. I will follow you wherever you go. And I just denied you. And I cussed and I cursed. You know, in our daily walk, there's a lot of things that we can do that are the cursing and cussing that Peter is doing here. They show a world that they're going to be convinced, yeah, he's just a nominal Christian. Christianity is just that. It's all just a farce. It changes nobody. There's so many Christians that are living just like me, a worldling would say. There's so many. There's so many doing the very same things I am. They're just saying they're Christians. Well, I'm not. I'm living the same way as they are. What is Christianity? It's nothing. Where's the power? Where's the power of the resurrection? Where's the new life? Where is it? It's nowhere to be seen. And they're quite comfortable in their sin because Christianity shows them nothing. And so when we can't bless anyone with the simplicity of the gospel being lived everywhere we go, we are denying him and we are cursing him because it's too uncomfortable to follow him too closely. It's going to cost you something, my dear friend, my dear brother, and my dear sister. It's going to cost us. If it's not costing us anything, we're too far away. We're too far away. Peter weeps bitterly. I can't imagine his sorrow, his confusion, his complete despair. He sees his master, the one who he followed for 3 years, and he followed him close. He learned from him. But it didn't sink into his heart. When the cost became too great, he stepped back. Where is that line with you and me that is becoming too great? I don't want to be shamed by my fellow, could be even brothers and sisters. Yeah. Yeah, we can even feel it right here. When I want to hold to the laws of Jesus and love him as he says to love me with all your heart and mind, and if I want to follow him like that, I can be ridiculed even by my own church. You're whacked out, too close, you're pretending, whatever. Peter has to wait 3 long days and nights. And when he hears Jesus is arisen, he goes running to the tomb. Peter wept. That's what you and I must do in our heart. We must weep bitterly for our sin, where we have transgressed, where we have separated ourselves from him. Weep bitterly and run to him. The first opportunity he heard, Jesus is arisen, he went running to the tomb. Where is he? Gone is fright. He went running for Jesus. Judas wept also. Judas was sorry for what he did. But Judas never, he could have run to Jesus just like Peter did. But he put himself in a state of despair where he found himself with no hope. When our hope is not in Christ, in the risen Lord Jesus, he took his own life. It meant nothing to him. Peter goes running to the tomb, and he hears the sweet words from Jesus. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? He says, thou knowest everything. Thou knowest how much I love thee. He asked him 3 times. He denied him 3 times. He says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And there's going to come a day when you're going to be tied up and led where you don't want to go. That what you tried to avoid just 3 days ago is going to happen. You're going to suffer for me. But I'm going to be with you. Just don't run away. Stay close to me, Peter. And we see the life of Peter after the day of Pentecost. We see the boldness of Peter. He preached in the streets. He preached Jesus, and he preached Jesus. And he lived Jesus. And he was close to him, and he followed him. He followed him right to the cross. He died daily. He was a humble man, one who allowed and permitted, I should say, or however you want to say it, the apostle Paul to tell him to his face, Peter, you're wrong. And Peter, that's humility. He allowed the Spirit to work in him, to show him, and to help him to grow into that perfect likeness of his master. And so the question for us, dear ones, is, do we think upon, because it says Peter thought upon this and he wept. Do we think about our denials? Does it cause us to weep? Does it cause us to repent? Do we go running back to Jesus to hear the sweet words of forgiveness from our Lord? Because he does know. He does know. Peter said, thou knowest everything. He does know if you love him. He does. You can say it, but he knows if you do. And you know what? You and I know also. We know. You know when you love something, or someone, I should say. You know. You know when you're ready to go to death for someone. I don't think there's a mother or father here that wouldn't die for their child. Gladly. Not a question. What is life? It's nothing. Not when it's a sacrifice for the one I love. Well, Jesus says, put all those relationships aside. Love me. Why? Why does Jesus say that? Because he says that's the only way that you're going to be able to ward off the fiery darts, the separation that Satan wants to create with our Lord, from our Lord. He wants to create that. Give a distance. And the distance could be so great that we don't even see that piercing look. I can't imagine that look. But dear ones, we should be able to see it. We should be able to. We read of who he is, and we should see that look in our eyes when we see ourselves. Whoa, where did I just go? Where am I? Where am I? Why do I not feel so close to him? Some days we do, right? We just feel a burning closeness to our Lord. We feel we could go into death, be burned at the stake. You're so close to him. Do we ever recognize the distance? And do we seek, as Peter did, running to the tomb to close that distance? Run in repentance. And Jesus is one who is so full of love and mercy and tenderness towards us. And he knows if you love him, and he forgives. And he empowers us to walk with him. So may this word bring each one of us, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends alike, to a closer walk with him. I know we say that a lot, a closer walk. But there's even a hymn, just a closer walk. But there's only one place, and a brother mentioned it last night in Mansfield in the prayer, is that the burdens are lifted at Calvary. The burden of sin, it's all at Calvary. That's where it's going to be lifted. But you and I have to go there. That's what Jesus says, take up your cross. And the burden of that sin will be lifted. And Jesus restores us. And we enjoy the sweet fellowship that we have with him. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
Elijah the prophet had one who he mentored, and he was Elisha. And Elijah told Elisha to tarry here in a certain place. And Elijah said, "No, I won't. I will follow you. Wherever you go, I will follow you." And Elijah said, "Well, if you see me when I depart, then you will have a double portion of the Spirit." And it was so that Elisha followed Elijah so closely that when Elijah was taken up, that Elisha then received a double portion of the Spirit that Elijah had. He followed him closely. The Apostle John was also one who leaned upon the breast of Jesus, even at that Last Supper. He followed him closely, and he identified with him. And likewise, we were challenged in this morning hour to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, to be one of his, to no longer carry our own name, our own ambitions, but to leave that all aside and to identify with Jesus Christ. And therein lies the great blessing, a greater blessing than Elisha received. The Apostle Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these words. It is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him," with Christ, "we shall also live with him." We shall also live with him. "If we suffer with Christ, we shall also reign with him." Christ suffered. Christ was put to death. But we can live with him and we can reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He cannot deny himself. The Lord cannot deny himself. We can deny him, but he cannot deny himself. And then it says these beautiful words, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." And so we've been hearers of the Holy Spirit as he spoke to us. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow him. Suffer with him. Suffer with him. Identify with him. And in so doing, we will live. And we will reign with him. And we will be his in all eternity. And he will bless us. So may he bless his word upon our hearts in this morning hour. Amen.